The scripture that I'm going to use tonight is 2 Corinthians 7, 5 through 11. But a supporting scripture that I'm going to use, I'm going to read Corinthians. But first, I want to turn to Proverbs 4, 23. And I'm going to read it out of two different translations in English so that I like doing that because it gives me a little bit broader and deeper understanding. Out of the New International Version, Proverbs 4, 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do follows from it." Proverbs 4:23 out of the New King James Version, it says that, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." So putting that in perspective, in the scripture, in this Proverbs, it assumes guarding your heart that there are fences, correct? If you guard something, you have walls or you have fences. That's why we need to guard our heart. And when we have issues, there's a difference between circumstances and issues. Circumstances is things that happen to you that you have no control. An accident is a circumstance. An issue is something that comes from within your heart. Does that make the difference? That makes the difference between how you deal with it, and that's why it says, guard your heart, for out of it comes the issue. Not out of your heart comes circumstances, because circumstances you don't have control, but issues comes out of your heart. So out of Corinthians 2, 7, 5 through 11. For when we were in, this is Paul. I want to give a little context of the scripture. Paul finds himself in Macedonia, and Before that, he wrote a letter to the church in Corinthia and kind of corrected them a little bit. So now he finds himself in Macedonia, and Titus comes to meet him, and he talks about this letter. So that's kind of where this verse and chapter finds itself, from verse 5. "For we were coming into Macedonia, where flesh had not rested, but we were troubled on every side without." So from the outside we were troubled, and we were fighting within with fear. "Nevertheless, God, that had comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by coming of Titus." So Titus meets them. "And now, by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith us was comforted in you. When he told us you earnestly desired our mourning, you are fervently mind toward me." So this is Titus telling Paul that I was in Macedonia, in Corinth, at the Corinth church, and I'm encouraged that what I wrote to you made a difference. "For though I made you sorry with the letter I wrote you, I do not repent, though I repent, for I perceive that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you are made sorry, but that you sorrow to repentance." So the sorrow that you felt brought you to repentance. "For you are made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us is nothing. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repentant of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye saw, the sorrow that you have of godly sorrow, what carefulness it worketh in you. Ye, what clearness of yourselves. Ye, what indignation. Ye, of what fear. Ye, of what withheld my desire." So what Paul is saying here is this letter that I wrote you. He was sorry that he wrote it, but then he saw that what it did in them, it worked salvation. It worked in them repentance. So, excuse me. So look how Paul responded. When he came and he found himself in Macedonia, he had trouble of the flesh, like we have problems in our lives. And then he had spiritual problems, because he says we had fighting, we had problems from the outside, and we had problems on the inside. What does he do? What Paul does? He says he turns to God. And so many times, no matter how strong of a Christian we are, our first response is not always to God. We kind of leave that as our last resort. So it says, but God who comforted us in the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So first he goes, if it wouldn't be for God, but God, if it wouldn't be for God, we would have lost it. He turns to God first. What I want to impress upon you is to turn to God first when you find yourself in trouble. Then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, it says, even if it caused you sorrow by my letter, I don't regret it. Though I do regret it, I see that my letter hurts you, but only for a while. And the title of my message is Only for a While. And I'll say it in Romanian. Măcar pentru puțină vreme. What do I want to say to that is sometimes we find ourselves in a situation and the scripture says, just to wait. Only for a little bit. Paul, what he was trying to tell the church in Corinthians is even though my letter that I wrote you hurt you, it only is going to hurt you for a little bit. But be patient because this hurt will create something in you that God desires in our heart. So a lot of times when, you know, one of our senior pastors, Brother Dohora or Frat Legog, says something to us, it might sting us. We might not like the service. We might not like the sermon. But Paul teaches us here, and he's teaching the Corinthians, don't worry, I know I hurt you. Because he says, I'm sorry. But then he says, I'm not sorry because I see what it did in you. It changed you. It transforms you. Verse 8, towards the end, it says, I hurt you with the letter. I recognize that this letter that I wrote you is a strong letter, but it was only for a while. In verse 9, yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry. Can you put the scripture up? For 2 Corinthians 7, 9, verse 9. I am happy not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so we were not harmed in any way by us. What is Paul saying there? What he's saying is that what I said to you hurt you, but it worked something in you, and at the end, as you see, I'm happy because it was the sorrow that God intended not to harm you in any way. Paul didn't mean to hurt them. Paul wanted to correct them. And as he's sending and he's talking to them, he's saying, you know what? My letter might have hurt you, but it was only for a little bit. So many times, so many of us miss that opportunity or for only for a while. Because we get so patient, so impatient with God's patience with us. We want to get in a hurry. You know, like somebody prayed one time and they said, God, please give me patience, but right now. You know? And so many times, God stretches out this time of patience and he says to us, only for a while. And if we just would sit and listen and be patient so that God would work exactly what God worked in the church of Corinth, that Paul refers to, and he says, you know what? What I said through my letter, through the letter of correction, and when our pastors speak to us, understand that we have an amazing pastors that love this flock and love us. Let us be patient, because what stings and what hurts is only for a little bit. What does God want to teach us through this word? In verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So the godly sorrow, the pain that you feel, if it's godly and it comes from a heart of a shepherd, just like Paul was, it's going to hurt, but if you allow it to take its course, it's going to create something in us that God once. I learned a long time ago that the purpose for us on this earth is not to be happy. Honestly, you know, if you seek the scripture, it's, you know, that's something that the world taught us, the American dream. Buy a house, buy a good car. There's nothing wrong with that, but if that's the purpose, the ultimate purpose why you live, you're missing the point. The only thing that God will take to eternity that you have is not this shell, but your soul and your character. I could stand corrected if that's not right. So what does God want to do with us while we live in here on this earth for 40, 60, 80, 90, 100 years now, and more and more people are living 100 years? Is to build our character. And I gave this example to the men on Saturday morning, and I said, you know, just like a rocket, when it leaves the orbit and it goes into outer space and leaves this magnet of the earth, with the same speed that goes into orbit, it keeps going. The same way with the amount and the level of character that you develop and that you allow God to develop in you and in me, we're left with it in eternity. That's why we have this reality that when I realize that, you know, then you understand. Then you are able to take the sting of a correction, the sting of God's word, or a problem. Like Paul was saying, when there's problems from the outside, he was facing with life, and problems with the and from the inside, he was facing the reality of the church. The church in Corinth wasn't an easy church to pastor. So he was dealing with spiritual issues. But you know what he said to them? These are small things. They're only going to be here for a while. Your eternity is millions and millions of years. We should concentrate on developing our character. And so when problems come in our heart, in our life, and I don't want to come across as speaking as I arrived. I'm not. Brother Dehora made a little joke before I got here. He said, are you ready? I said, I believe so. He said, you are born ready. I said, no, not at all. None of us have it all together. God has planted this word to share with you because, you know, I did not plan, you know, fratele, to stand up. But there was a truth that he said in what he said. We're living in some times that are very, very close. So all our struggles, all our pain, if we understand, if we see that in the perspective of eternity, then it's not a big problem because it's only for a while. That's what Paul was encouraging the Corinthians. You know what I said? And Paul was able to see the fruits because the Corinthians, you know, responded with anger. They were upset from the letter. But then he also saw that, you know what? It worked in them. It corrected them. They allowed that to change them. And I want to jump now at the beginning of chapter 7 of Corinthians. And before that, I want to show you what Paul was saying prior to chapter 7. In chapter 6 of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not unclean things, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's what the Lord is calling us tonight. When the Lord put this message on my heart, believe me, you can ask the pastors, the Holy Spirit works on you first before you arrive here way more than, you know, anything else can happen when we're here. That's why I prayed and I said, Lord, prepare the hearts. Because this is not because it's me, but because it's the Word of God. I mention and I proclaim the Word of God because the Word of God, it's not what I said, it's what the Word of God says. The word of God in Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, what I just read, it says, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. So then it's easy when I struggle, when I have pain, when I don't have things going my way, working the way I want things. And believe me, I have issues with that when on the way to church many times. You know, it seems like every slow person is in front of you when you're going to church. Or if you're married, it seems like the worst of conversation and arguments come when you're going to church. So you're not there. We're not there. So I was discussing this with my wife and I said, why can't we always make the right choice? And I was discussing the issue that, you know, well, he made me do it. Nobody makes you do anything. We all have a choice. So if we make that choice, again, I'm repeating myself because I want to make the point across that if we see whatever we go through, the scripture and the Lord said, in this life you will have many tribulations, many problems. But be joyful, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. When we see that in the perspective and in the perspective of eternity, not in the perspective of 80 years, 90 years that the Lord gives us on this earth, then anything we go through, anything we face, and I challenge you if I can, the Word of God challenges us, but I challenge you as brothers and sisters in Christ to see that, you know what? It is more important to develop the character of Christ. That's what we're here for. I also gave the men an example. When the choir has a choir practice, that's not them singing here. That's practicing. Same thing with the orchestra. What do you think we're doing here for 80 years? We're practicing. So loving each other is practice. Being lovely and being cheerful towards your brother. God, I want you to know with all my heart that the world looks at us. We should have all the reasons to have a cheerful heart, a happy heart, look at the issues of life differently because we have hope. They don't have hope. What does God want us to do? 2 Corinthians 7:1, so chapter 7, verse 1. He wants us to have a pure heart. Therefore, since we have these promises, what are the promises? The promises that I just read in the end of chapter 6, 17 and 18. So, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates our body, our spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. That's not me. That's the scripture. This, believe me, this is working on me more than maybe it's working on you. That's the Word of God. And it says, if the Word of God has power to change, then let's take that scripture and write it down. I don't know if you remember a couple months ago, almost a year ago, we were passing out notes. This is an opportunity for me to say it. There's a reason why I want you to write notes. You know, the Air Force, which trains some of the brightest minds, took a test and said, you know what, if somebody writes something down, the percentage is 70% of memory. If they repeat it, it's 50. If they don't write it down, just listen to it, within 48 hours, they forgot everything. So write that scripture down. First, a pure heart. Second, an open heart. Make room for us. This is chapter 7, verse 2. Make room for us in your heart. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. This is Paul telling, you know, the Corinthian church. We didn't hurt anybody. But what did he say? Make room in your hearts. Have an open heart for the word and have an open heart for others in your life. God desires that of us. And lastly, God wants us to have a generous heart. And in chapter 7, verse 3 says, I do not say this to condemn you. I have said it before that you have such a peace, a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. This is Paul as a pastor, as an encourager of the Corinthian church, says, we're not here to condemn you. We're here with you. We're here to love with you, to do life with you. Paul is saying, I'm not saying you're wrong because I'm Paul. I struggle with the same thing you struggle with. I'm here to love with you. So God wants us to develop a pure heart, an open heart, and a generous heart. What is a generous heart? You love other people. And somebody told me, you know what, Levi? It's easy to love people that love you back. It's the people that don't love you that you need to love. And something else, which I'll close. I shared with the men that it's so easy to say, we know the scripture. The amazing thing is even Satan knows the scripture. But application is the hardest thing. So I'm going to close with this. We have only a little bit. Only for a while. Remember that. It's not that long. You know, there was a little memo that was spread around. It's called The Dash. I don't know the whole poesia. It's the line between when you were born and when you die on your tombstone. And it's called The Dash. And what happens in between those two numbers is everything that matters into eternity. So I encourage all of us, including myself, to develop a pure heart, an open heart, and a generous heart. Amen.